KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams now with you live. I'm in studio with Chuck Harper, Across Nations Ministry. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
And what a privilege to be with you. I've enjoyed our visit already.
Yeah, well, Chuck, I always am wary about what we talk about off the air because it's kind of hard. Well, we probably should have talked about that on the air, right?
I tried not to say anything while we were talking.
Do you ever have that where you're talking to somebody and, you know, we're friends and we talk about things that are going on. We have a lot of people in common. I remember last time we were together, we were talking about my friend Monty Gavin.
Oh, yes.
Monty was one of my high, he was my high school football coach, so of course I call him Coach.
Yeah.
Well, but he's had a heart for Native people just like you.
And he's done a lot of basketball camps and done a lot of things with us over the years.
Yeah, and I told you my experience. I have been out to a number of the Native American communities and done basketball camps. I'm a former Lobo, but I will also say that I recognized early that when you went to college, you know, 50 years ago, then you don't have as much effect as you once did.
Now, is that a personal attack?
No, it's mine. I mean, it's about me. I mean, I think about being part of that Lobo basketball program, and to me, it wasn't 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, it was a pretty long time ago.
And it feels like yesterday still.
It does. And it actually wasn't quite 50. It was like 45.
Okay.
So I'm still closer than I like to think about, right?
That's right.
Chuck, Across Nations is an amazing ministry. You have all kinds of components to it. You have a school. You have broadcasting. You're reaching out to three communities, Hopi, Navajo, and
Zuni.
And Zuni. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know, like, for example, in New Mexico, we know about the Navajo communities, but we don't realize that most of the Navajo Nation is in Arizona. Just a little bit's here in New Mexico, right?
That's right. Actually, most of the Native communities, Navajo communities, are around the world. There's 480,000 Navajo people, I think,
I never realized
and,
that.
And only 175 live on the reservation, and the rest live in cities. And so there's... Sometimes people say, we should start a chapter in Albuquerque, or we should have one in Denver or L.A. or whatever, because some people joke they're like beer, they're like pop cans, and wherever you go, there they are.
So, and I say this all the time, but our listeners listen intently because they know the Lord's going to speak to them about things they need to be involved with. And you've had a heart for Native American communities, but I can't imagine... The Hopi language is different than the Navajo language.
Very much different. New language.
And so you are broadcasting in three different languages.
Well, right now, mostly just Navajo and English. Okay. We're hoping to do a lot more Hopi.
Okay.
We have a construction permit for a brand new radio station on the Hopi Reservation. And we're hoping this year to get that started. We just got permission from the FCC like 3 weeks ago to put a translator in the third Mesa village. And so hopefully in the next few weeks, that'll be going on the air too. So
now a lot of people think about terrestrial radio. Terrestrial radio, what you're listening to right now is, okay, we have an antenna on the crest. We're broadcasting line of sight as far out as we can. We do have translators in various communities, like we have one down at Cannon Air Force Base. We have one in Las Cruces, et cetera. So we're able to shoot that signal. And maybe it's going over wires too. I don't know exactly how that technology works, but eventually you've got to have line of sight. Well, the interesting thing is we all have a cell phone in our hands. Mm-hmm. I have one here right now. I had to silence it because sometimes I forget when I go on the radio. And they don't have those kind of things in many areas. So tell us about your ministry. And then what I want you to do is kind of flow into what do we not know about the challenges that Native American peoples have?
Certainly. Well, Across Nations used to be called Western Indian Ministries. About 6 years ago, we changed the name. We felt like the name Western Indian Ministries kind of had the connotation of John Wayne or some of the old Western movies, so to speak. And so we thought, you know, our mission's been here. Our founder came out in 1906, and started traveling around the Navajo Nation on his horseback, and had a group of men with him that were his translators, and he would teach them the Bible narrative by day, and they'd go to a village at night and say, okay, you'd go teach what you just taught. And through that process, a number of churches were established early on. And so it was a big place. He traveled around a lot. Eventually, they purchased some land close to Window Rock and what today is Across Nations. As we look back over those 100-plus years of our involvement, and 86 years this year in the Window Rock area, we thought, you know, the Navajo Church, there's churches. There's probably 500 at least churches across the reservation. Now, some of those are self-identified as churches, and they might only have one or two people that come there on a Sunday, but at least there's a group of people that call themselves.
They may be like a home fellowship.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much what it is.
Where two or more gather.
Amen. Yeah. And so we thought, well, if the discipleship process that Jesus really taught, it talks about winning the lost, building them up, training them, and sending them out into missions. And the Navajo people have been evangelized in some regards, and but they've never really been given the ball and saying, okay, it's your turn to go take the gospel somewhere else. And so we've really latched onto that concept that's one of the major parts of disciple-making, and sending them to be the agents of change. So we put our name Across Nations. That's why we call ourselves that now. So we want to challenge the Navajo people to take the gospel. It might be across the trailer house. It might be across the road, across the wash, or across the ocean. Whatever the case might be, it's their turn to step up. Some of the most beautiful, high-potential, amazing, creative people you'll ever find. But often they're looked at as those poor people out there. We've got to go do something for them. Yes. And so we want to turn that around and just really show that they are high potential, and God can use them and has and is using them in significant places around the world.
I do need to say, though, that so I'm a former banker.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Shiprock area, which is a little ways away from where you're at, more kind of it still is the
it's not that far. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still up in the northwest corner, but a little bit different flavor. I had people coming to me saying, okay, I have this great job in town, and I'm living on the reservation, but I've recently found out that if I don't live on the reservation, then the federal government will pay me a stipend toward housing and some other things. Can I buy a house? I said, of course. They didn't realize that they could own, and I'm not talking people into moving, but the main reason that these families were doing this is because they wanted to have input into their school system. They wanted to experience what they would say was more freedom. And all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, isn't this the American dream? Isn't this the very thing that we all want? And just these communities, and I know I probably shouldn't do this, but basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start talking about, like, you talk about Shiprock girls basketball. You're talking about some of the top high school basketball in the country. I mean, these gals can just flat get after it. And that's been true in many different sports. I remember when I was in high school, and I graduated a pretty long time ago, 1976. But you couldn't outrun any of the cross country teams or anything, and track. I mean, we had Division I athletes everywhere, and then on down. I mean, anybody that got a scholarship to run. So a lot of the Native American kids have really flourished. I'm thinking through your program, they're now having the same success in banking and coaching and except, you know, teaching, et cetera, being attorneys. And maybe that was the vision that they had before, but maybe that's something that you're being able to instill in them.
Well, that's kind of our vision and what we want to see happen. Those things are happening, but on a very limited scale. Mm. I think one of the Native people face so many challenges that mainstream, like us with white skin, may not face. The challenges of a reservation are very different. the Navajo Nation is owned by the federal government still. Mm-hmm. They don't own any property. They don't own their house. They cannot own their land. They can't get a. They can't go get a mortgage to build a house on your property because you don't own the property. Mm-hmm. It's still managed by the federal government. And so the federal government, the Navajo governments, all of the politics, things just have an enormous ability to hold them back. We had one of our elders talking to a group of high school kids here last week, and he came in and he's saying, I'll tell you what the Navajo worldview is like and why we're held back from really being successful. He says, it's not because we're not able. It's not because we're not smart enough. It's not because of drugs or alcohol or any of these things. It's because the way our worldview looks at life and the way we're kind of held back by a lot of the problems and things that we're become accustomed to dealing with. And he said, well, here's a Navajo's worldview. He said, when I grew up, he said, my clan is the Reed clan. And so he was joking about how, you know, he's related to Moses and, you know, some of these Bible characters. And he said, if you had put an old rusty horse trough in the middle of a lake, it's going to float, but it's not going to float very well. Mm-hmm. And let's say you put me as a little as a child into that rusty old tub, and you have to hold on and you have to be very careful and still and hold your balance just right. Every little wave could tip you over. And he says, that's the worldview of a Navajo person. Mm. He said, we're caught in a pond where any little thing could tip us over. Something could swamp us. Something could make us go astray. Or, you know, we're just hanging on for dear life. And he said, that's the worldview of a typical Navajo person.
So their worldview, if they're listening to one of your radio stations, you have three stations broadcasting?
We actually have four.
Yeah, four.
And we have four translators, four radio stations, and this year we'll have five, hopefully.
And you're covering a lot of ground. And as I'm telling our listeners this, I want them to think about, wow, this is provided for free to these communities. But as we all know, in ministry, what we do isn't free. We got to somehow pay the bills.
That's right.
A nonprofit. You're a nonprofit Across Nations Ministry. So tell us how people can get in touch with you if they want to volunteer, if they want to support. How can they
Certainly.
Get in touch?
They can call us. Our phone number, 505-371-5587. That's our radio station's number. Our website, acrossnations.cc. Those are probably the two best ways to get a hold of us, or our email. You can say radio@acrossnations.cc would be a good way to email us, too.
I liked how you started our interview today talking about Native American church, or the Navajo church in particular, being a sending church, sending people out to do missions. So many times, and maybe this is arrogance, I don't know, but we're thinking about how can we help them. You do have some churches sending people out and helping other communities, don't you?
Sure do. There's all sorts of ways. I think one of the best ways is to build a relationship with somebody. There's churches there that would be so eager to know, hey, somebody came from Albuquerque or Santa Fe and they're visited our church. You know, that's an encouragement. People care about who we are. Another way, there's so many Native people in Albuquerque. Get to know one of them. Just ask them about their culture. The Pueblos have feast days. Oh, some of the most fun I've ever had is going to a Pueblo feast day. Get to know them. Get to care about them and just say, hey, how can we be praying for you? I think one of the things people need to understand is how big the Navajo Nation is. 27,000 square miles. It's three times bigger than the Nation of Israel.
Wow.
Can you get a grip of that? Three times bigger than Israel. That's where 500,000 Navajo people live.
But the people are pretty spread out, not quite as the density of population. Yeah. That's why it's harder to reach everybody.
Six people per square mile, I think, is the average. Yeah. So it's a beautiful place. I can picture our founder thinking, traveling years ago, there's got to be a better way to reach all these people. It's so big, it's so beautiful, and it's so far between where they live and hard to get to.
Yeah.
And so many opportunities.
Chuck, we've got to say thank you to our sponsors. Part of this whole thing you know, we do want to thank people that sponsor so much, because the way we thank them is to say it on the air, but we also know our listeners frequent our sponsors pretty you know, regularly. Mm-hmm. And it's good for our listeners to know that they are in turn helping, you know, bring the gospel. Yeah. And Across Nations is another way to do that. So we are very grateful that you're listening right now. We hope you'll stay with us. Chuck Harper will be back with us until 2 o'clock. We'll be right back. If you're on your way from Albuquerque to California, you are going to drive right through Window Rock.
Absolutely. Well, maybe not Window Rock, but
You're going to drive through Gallup, and mm-hmm. then you're going to see don't you see the Window Rock right there?
I mean, it's about 30 miles north of I-40.
Okay. So it's, you know, it's one of the most beautiful areas. And you have a base there. You have just built and are in the process of finishing up a three radio station facility.
Yeah, that'll be your home base for all of our radio stations. It's actually made out of three shipping containers.
Yeah.
And I like the kid, you know, can you send the gospel by shipping container? Well, yes, you can.
Yeah. And that's working out well.
It's a beautiful facility, and we're just about ready to open it.
I love it. I love it. And got a new project going on.
You know, God has blessed us in a way I couldn't believe. You know, 25 years ago, my wife and I were working with Monty Gavin and some others. We mostly did youth ministry. We saw so many kids that had done well in a youth group. They thrived. They came to Christ. They didn't have any encouragement at home to go to college. Some of them had scholarships. Some of them had great opportunities to go places. Their single mom usually would say, why would we want to send Johnny to go to college? It costs so much money. We could buy a new truck, and I'll probably lose my job at the laundromat. No, we don't want him to go to college. And so they'd sit at home, having done well in high school, and they twiddle their thumbs and end up going back into destructive lifestyles.
Would it be true, though, that the parents also just traditionally always had the kids around? Like, they were probably already, they were around their families till they grew to adulthood. So there was an amount of fear there that maybe they didn't actually need to have.
Well, I know a lot of them are afraid because there's not any jobs, hardly any jobs at home. Mm-hmm. And when they go to college, they get jobs off the reservation. Mm-hmm. That's why we have more people off the reservation today than are on. And so there's no jobs to come home to. And so the parent feels like, I'm going to lose my son or my daughter if they go away to college. So they're afraid of that, and they don't want to see that happen. Well, anyway, we always thought about having a special place for young people to go to for a 9-month discipleship program. Today, we call them gap year programs. Well, there's a place in Cortez, Colorado this year that closed down, and they came and said, hey, Chuck, we here you're a guy with ideas. We have this 48-acre campus. It has a basketball gym. It has dorms. It has a kitchen. It has a farm. It has all sorts of things, but we don't know what to do with it. And I said, well, I have an idea. Why don't we turn it into this discipleship program for young people? So we talked to their board about it. The next day they called and said, if you'll run that program, the property is yours.
Wow.
And so here we were gifted with this 48-acre beautiful campus, turnkey, ready to start a discipleship program for young people.
And it sounds like that discipleship program, obviously with the primary intent to get people to know God's word, might also include a little job training.
That's one of the major points to it. Is that we want to offer certificate for people to be ready to go to work and learn what work ethic is all about, something that they've lost in their culture, something that inherently they were really good at. But over the course of government entitlements and all these years of welfare and the things that have just held them back, they don't know what it means to get a job or how to get up and get to work on time. And you have to go after you get a paycheck. And it's going to be a major component of our program there. And so we're so super excited about how God has gifted that to us.
Chuck, we're a listener-supported radio program. But Across Nations, you're not going to get the support on the radio because you're dealing with a population that doesn't have a lot of financial resources. Probably get some pretty amazing volunteers, but there's not a lot of finances available. So how can our listeners help with all of these projects?
Well, we're having a share-a-thon, actually, in 3 weeks. Nice. And we're inviting our listeners to give toward helping with furnishings for the new radio station, a translator for the Hopi Reservation, you know, just some of our operating expenses. We're challenging our listeners over these four radio stations, to give $24,000. That's a very hefty goal for our people. Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody from this listening audience would want to match that. Or be part of what God is doing, or make a gift that we could challenge our listeners to match that. It might only be $100 or a $50 thing. Maybe that would be a way that people could really get behind our ministry there.
As when you come to faith in Christ, is it almost like you get released to see the freedom you have to do all these other things?
My goodness, that is such a good and way to say it. The scales fall off your eyes and you think, oh my goodness, God has opened up this whole new world and given me the spiritual gifts, the blessing, the encouragement to follow him and do what he, you know, the vision that they're lacking is just coming to life because that happens.
Chuck, living in New Mexico, and you know this about our Hispanic population, you know this about our Native American. I wish this was true with other parts of our population. What I mean by that is there are elders. There are people that want to hold on to family and cultural traditions. And I think sometimes they think when kids are going to college or they're going to a vocational school and learning about construction or farming or you name it, they think somehow that they're going to lose their culture. And I've actually seen, I believe, the opposite of that happen. As young people go away and they're actually able to learn a trade and they earn money and they're not having to worry about that part of their life, they're able to go back into their communities and invest there and pick up on all those traditions. You know, I've got a couple friends of mine that are dancers, Native American dancers, and they tell these amazing stories through their dance. I mean, what an art form. And I've just been fascinated with that aspect of Native American culture for a really long time. Now, some of the stuff, interestingly enough, they don't want to tell you what it means because it's sacred. It's this is for us. We want to show you the dance, but we're going to kind of keep private what this is, yeah. But then other aspects of it, they're very open. This is the story we're telling you about, you know, how we, you know, hunted for food or how we believe God provided, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And that happens all the time. And I just can't say enough good about that. And I think you nailed it.
Well, Chuck, thanks so much. If you're interested in helping Chuck and Across Nations ministries, go to acrossnations.cc. Mm-hmm. Their phone number is 505-371-5587. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
What an honor. Thank you so much, Jim.